The opening scripture is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of... Caitlin, how about it? Say it with me. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The title of this message is Fearless for Christ. My question is, to start off, does anyone notice how quickly things are unraveling in this world? I feel like I'm a parrot up here sometimes, constantly saying the same things. But the truth is, the birth pangs are clearly intensifying. They are upon us. One does not have to go far. Read Matthew 24, read Luke 21. And if you don't see this, you are blind. Blind. We literally see intense adverse weather patterns. Look at the tornado that just decimated not only Kentucky. That traveled over four states, folks. 77 lives are gone. They met their maker. It's just a reminder, we have no promise for tomorrow. We see earthquakes, we see environmental calamities escalating, which result in more loss of life, and it impacts the world's economies as well. We see lawlessness on the rise with coordinated efforts of smash and grab, with an increase of private security details because there's no law enforcement, because it's been decimated by ridiculous policies. We hear the drums of war being pounded with Russia and Ukraine, China and the West. They've warned Japan. They said, don't even think about it. We'll nuke Taiwan, India and Pakistan. And how about Israel and Iran? You have a call for a unified Europe unfolding before our very eyes. A side note, just do you think... it's odd, or any reason why you think China told its people to stock up and prepare for shortages recently? They said, hey, there's going to be a time here, short supply. And they said it's because of the supply crisis, but also perhaps they know something else is in the works, like war. The 2021 Global Report on Food Crisis shows that 155 million people in 55 countries are facing hunger. In 2020 alone, and it's up 20 million from the year before. Famines and malnutrition are mounting as droughts impact the fragility of the global food system, and poverty is skyrocketing. We see a growing divide of classes. And it's been escalated due to the pandemic. You think things are tight now. You think things are scary now. You wait till people start going hungry. Seal 3 promises that. Seal 3 promises that there will be famine and it will be worldwide. And then we have a viral pandemic, plandemic. The truth about it is actively being suppressed, folks, and coercion to take a leaky and problematic solution, and the threat of a loss of liberties for anyone who elects not to take it shows the edge of deceptive agenda that will ultimately express itself in the mark of the beast. Read Revelation 13. We are no different. It's like, did we go full circle from last December to here where we're at now in the world? But the reality is, it feels like that on the surface, but we're further along than you understand. We're actually, we've inched closer to the beast system and its arrival via the Great Reset. Global economies have never been more fragile. The number of companies alone in this country small businesses that have gone belly up as a result of plans, and we keep doing the same thing. Definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting different results. And it's only going to continue to intensify. In America, our illegitimate and corrupt leadership has pushed policies that have resulted in record inflation. We're spending more. And we keep spending more. As policy, it's like open book, open check. We just keep printing. You're seeing the decimation of the economy, like literally before our eyes. The policies have made us dependent on nations that don't even like us. For basic goods, I mean, a couple years ago, we were energy independent. Now, now we're releasing reserve oil. And by the way, we sold some of that to China. Supply chains are so mismanaged that the ports have ships lined up like it's the Armada. The Armada is just lined up out there with supplies. Christians are also being attacked. According to Forbes magazine, an article written in January 2021, 1 in 8 Christians live in countries where they might suffer very high or extreme levels of persecution. You don't feel that here. You don't think they're saying, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus? The church of Smyrna is alive. It is very present in this world. Read the voice of the martyrs. Their situation's worsening daily. Truth is being thrown to the ground. At the same time, deception is prospering. And if you say the truth, guess what? You get censored. Stating the facts on most social media platforms will get you flagged, censored, or shut down. And so we have created a mass population of lemmings that just follow the Pied Piper. They don't want the truth. They don't want the truth on much of anything these days, including values. They just want to go back to normal, and they will follow to the edge of the cliff and go over it if they can get that. And the church, for the most part, is out of touch. It's not doing its job. Most people in the church, because of the church, have very little idea what's really going on in the world right now. Some are asking questions, but they're receiving little in the way of answers. In the book of Thessalonians, the church there, the people, were questioning, did we miss it? They thought they missed the Lord. And Paul relieves their fears because he counseled them and he gives them wisdom. And what does he do? Paul preaches to the Thessalonians. He preaches what? Prophecy. The rapture. The Antichrist. The day of the Lord. And the resurrection of the dead. Most churches don't want to touch prophecy. I might be wrong. I might offend somebody. I might scare them into getting right with Jesus. We have many who just want to go about. I told you I was going to ruffle some feathers. So many just want to go about business as usual and keep the programs and the money coming in. And it's going to get worse, folks. It's going to get much worse in the church. Dancing around the real issues of the time with watered down, lukewarm messages, and lukewarm messages produce lukewarm churches. And the lukewarm churches go wayward and the way of the world. And because of that, it's going to get worse when the metaverse and all the things the harlot will introduce will creep its way into the church. as churches have turned away from the gospel, the preaching of sin, Christ coming again, and instead they focus on social gospel themes of growing community, neighborly love, and self-encouragement. Are those things wrong in itself? No, they're not. But it should not be the focal point. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ is. It's about Jesus. And they use social issues to puff up self on top of that. They're not even trying to point people to Christ. It's fluff. And guess what? I was texting this with a man the other day. The early church did not have fluff. It had the gospel. It had the truth. And the truth is what sets people free. And so I see the church as is, the remnant church, the real church, being purged of fluff. There's a difference about being ready and watchful, because churches want everybody, these churches want everybody to feel good and get along, with a sense of unification. They steer clear of sensitive topics. They steer clear of confrontational truth. And meanwhile, if they don't turn from their ways, they will fall in line with the harlot. The divide is growing clear, folks. We talked about the battle lines being drawn. There is a separation here of those who are conforming to, they're conforming to the deception of the global agenda versus those of the remnant church. And it's unveiling before our very eyes. Jesus tells the church in Philadelphia, he says, "I know your works. See, I have set you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and know that I have loved you." He loves you. "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Earth dwellers, remember? Are you an earth dweller or an heir? We are heirs. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown, because the world has been using fear for you to cower and to conform to its plans." The watchmen are blowing the trumpet. They are warning the people of the land. A sword is coming. The church needs to wake up. We are being refined. We were told to cling and to hold fast so that when the time comes and the music plays, we do not bow to the statue. We don't bow to Babylon. Babylon is falling. Babylon is going to be gone when God gets done with it. There won't even be remains of it. When God finishes it, it's going down. It's going down. So because of that, we need to be fearless. We need to be fearless in this time. We need to stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Stand up. And there's some points to this. The first one is, you're going to be really surprised at this. Do not fear. Do not fear. Whoa, that's really deep, Pastor. Is it? Because the world says to live in fear right now, doesn't it? Every time you turn on the TV, I mean, I get just logging into my email account. It's like the ads or articles. We are supposed to do the opposite of what the world says to do. If we're supposed to, the world says live in fear, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to be like the salmon swimming against the current. Do you know fear is mentioned more than 500 times in the Bible? 500 times, more than 500 times. And fear and anxiety creeps in many times throughout our life. I was there just a week ago with my lungs, and I'm going, oh, breathing, and I'm like, my wife knew. Like, I had anxiety would build in. My breathing would get even more taxed, going, oh, I don't want pneumonia again. I'm very acquainted. You know, I'm not sitting up here saying I'm separate from that. When we let that happen, we lose our focus. That's really what's happening. We've lost our focus. Fear is dictating our expression. Right? Just like Elijah. We talked about Elijah a few weeks ago. Well, he has that mountaintop experience, right? And then suddenly he's in the pit of depression, wishing he would die. That's called the spirit of fear, folks. Right? He calls down fire from heaven. He outruns the chariots. And suddenly the word of Jezebel strikes fear into him. One of the churches in Revelation allows Jezebel in its church. Maybe that's just what's going on. Allowing the spirit of fear to be spoken in from the pulpit. You see, his focus changed from God, right? He changed from being vertical to horizontal. You've heard me say that before, right? I'm the only one left, right? I'm the only one left. We feel like that many times, right? Just take my life. Can you come already, Lord Jesus? Just get me out of here, right? Get us out of here. But just think about if he had came and got you out of here, got those out of here before you came to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. So God comes to him in a still small voice, says, you are not the only one left. Right? There's always a remnant. There's always a remnant. And when God speaks to him, he restores him. And it's through Elijah, he would train up Elisha. And Elisha would get the double anointing. Elisha's the one that prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened. And he saw the angel armies behind him. As the Syrian army came, the Assyrians were coming down upon him. Fear is definitely the theme of today, is it not? It's what sells the headlines. And whatever you fear becomes your master. Elijah's case, those fear, Jezebel's word, circumstances, feeling like the only one, that was suddenly became his master. But if the Lord is your master, then guess what? Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The only type of fear we should be living in is reverential fear. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When fear comes crashing in, let it drive you into knowing Jesus more, to be more acquainted with him, because he's acquainted with us, folks. He knows what we deal with because he came to earth as a man. He's very well acquainted with the trials that we deal with. Right, sister? Amen. He knows how anxiety and fear overtake us. He saw it firsthand with his disciples, the ones he handpicked numerous times. On the boat, right? Traveling over. When they scattered. When he was taken captive. We got to stand on the promises of his word. The promises of his word, because he took on the wrath for us. So that we can be justified by faith in Christ alone. By grace we are saved, and his grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. And his grace is his empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. So we approach the throne room in our time of need, as this church does constantly. We make known the petitions of our heart, just as Hebrews said. He's well acquainted. Hebrews 4. So we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. It's not like you just get one chance. It's continuous. Pray without ceasing. You can continuously be in communication with God. It's not like, oh, you've met your limit, your quota for the week. You're too many. Don't come to me anymore until next week. No. And the awesome thing is our God is omniscient, and he hears every single one of our prayers and our thoughts. Don't let your carnal flesh rise up. When fear rears its ugly eyes, go vertical, not horizontal, casting down every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's called spiritual warfare. All the more why we need to be a praying church. Focus on the Lord, not the enemy, not the circumstances. You change your focus, you change your future. He has equipped us, folks. He has equipped us for this moment. You have been chosen to live in biblical times. Literally, as we see prophecy come to life. And you know what you've been given? What the opening scripture was: a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. You see, something happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus handpicked his disciples. And when he was taken captive, they did what? They scattered. Jesus, the Lamb of God, foreordained before the foundations of the earth, was then murdered and crucified for the world, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall inherit, or have not perished, but have eternal life. And at that moment, when he gave his last breath and he said, "It is finished," the disciples were in hiding. They were fearing for their lives. But then Jesus rose from the grave, folks. He rose from the grave, and the disciples came face to face with perfect. With perfect. And guess what? He said, "I promise I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit." You see, the pivot was something inside them changed them. They went from being in hiding and in fear to suddenly being fearless for Christ. They were in hiding, not saying anything, and then they were preaching in power. Philippians 3, 8 through 16, this is what happens. Paul says, "Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any thinking otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. A same mind. That's when you walk in the Spirit. You're in tune with what the Spirit is saying. And there's constant confirmation over and over again in this church with the leader, with those who are on the worship team. We see it all the time. The confirmation. We don't talk about what I'm preaching on or anything, and all suddenly the Spirit moves. When we're praying for one another, the Spirit is moving. We're in the same mind. We're approaching the throne room together. We are walking in the Spirit, and the third part of the Godhead leads us. There's no contradictions with Him. We are on kingdom business when we're walking in the Spirit, folks. Kingdom business. And having the same mind means we can process the truth. Our mind isn't seared and our conscience seared where we can't have the truth penetrate. Galatians 5 says in 16:18, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Going on to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We crucify those passions and old desires, and we get a new passion and a new desire to win the lost. We put on the mind of Christ, and it's not about us. The mind of Christ says in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which also it was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, he didn't think it was robbery. He loved us so much that he came and he gave his life for us. And as a result of that, we are bondservants to him. We are tethered to him. Our lives are his. He bought us at the auction block of sin. And he said, you are mine. I called you by name. We should be overwhelmed with that joy in our heart. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory to King Jesus. Hosea. Hosea went to the auction block to purchase his wife, which was already his, Gomer. A foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do for us. We should take to heart Jesus' words when we think about our loved ones who don't know Christ. Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We, just like the disciples, can be fearless for Christ. We are living in the last days, folks. It is triage time. We need to get as many people to hear the truth of the gospel, telling them that the only way to heaven is through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Listen to Jesus' words, and let's apply them to us. And this is why we should not be fearless. Why we should be fearless for him. Not fearful, fearless for him. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Take comfort in knowing you have a personal relationship with Jesus. We believe in God and we believe in Jesus. Therefore, this is not our home. We are citizens of heaven, and heaven is our destination. This is just a temporary place where we are being refined and purified. As Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's alive, folks, and it rises up inside us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. You are kept by the power of God. What's the power of God? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave resides inside you. He seals you. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We certainly have we not? We are. my wife and I are going like, wow, like what is going on? And John, I think John even nailed it. He said, you know, he'll calm the storm soon, right? get us through the storms. We have gone through quite a bit, church. And unfortunately, there will be more. There will be more. We've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Heaven is our destination. We're being refined and purified for that moment, because Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming sooner than most think. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. I think about with the shout, my bride, come to me. Comfort one another with these words. I take great comfort in those words. And I'm going to keep preaching those words of comfort from this pulpit as long as the Lord gives me breath. You preach about the rapture a lot, Pastor. I sure do. It's a blessed hope. These words that Paul writes are fulfillment of what Jesus said in John 14. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come back and receive you to myself. We were sitting there this morning, my wife and I, looking out to the west, and we could see the moon. It's beautiful, and all these clouds, and I was like, "Woo, those look like kingdom clouds." You know, Jesus coming to take his bride away. God's word says it. He says it. And his word does not return void. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Our God's word does not return void. If he says it, he does it. He's not some stupid politician full of hot wind with empty promises. He is the King of all kings. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And he controls the very breath in our lungs. Amen. What do you have to lose? He gave it all. That we may gain it all. Philippians 1, 19 through 21, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that is nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. With those awesome words, I will give you the last point, which is to be strong, brave, and courageous. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. Strong in the Hebrew is chazak. It's to fasten upon, to seize, to bind, to wax strong, to maintain, to hold fast. Take hold. Courage in the Hebrew is amatz. It's to be alert, to be physically on foot or mentally strong, to be fortified, to be fortified, and to prevail. And I think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, I sought the Lord three times. I sought the Lord three times. That thorn in his side would depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The I am is strong. The Alpha and the Omega is strong. Our strength is nothing, but when we are surrendered and trusting in Him, then His might and His strength sets in. And that's why when you're standing, it says, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. The power of His might. All the world's might is going to rise up and take on Jesus at the end. And all the military power of this world has won't hold a candle to when Jesus opens his mouth and consumes them with the sword. Amen. We are at war, and we must be strong in him who overcame everything. And God approves of good courage for his will to be accomplished. That's why he talked to Joshua the way he did. Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is he that go with thee. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. And Moses called unto Joshua and unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In verse 23, he gives Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge. And he says, be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Amen. Let's think about this passage for a moment, folks. Joshua is told numerous times, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. This moment was intense for him. Moses was about to die, and Joshua would become the leader of Israel. And he is to take them to the promised land. Let that sink in for a moment. We are at that moment right now, folks, the parallel. We are about to go to the promised land. Yeah. Jesus is telling us, be strong, be of good courage, Hold fast. I'm coming quickly. We are about to go to the promised land. If God be for us, who can be against us? He has a plan, and it works together for the good who are called by his name. So be bold. Be strong. Be courageous. We are about to go to the promised land. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb, sharing good reports, the good news, preaching boldly like Peter did in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's say it again. We are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let's be about snatching brands from the fire. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him, today is the day to know him. Today is the day. I'm not talking about knowing of him. I'm talking about how Paul said to know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. Because when you know him, you are transformed by him. That's how Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Jesus said, you must be born again. It's a transformation that happens. And it happens by you, A, admitting that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Because there's none righteous, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It's death, folks. The death penalty for those who don't know him is eternal separation from God. Eternal torment. Think about that when you muzzle your mouth. The Spirit is pleading with you to speak the truth. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm not hiding it under the bushel. Stop hiding it. It's not a secret. Believe on the Lord Jesus. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. Confession is made unto salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done on the cross. You died for me. I accept your offering. I accept your gift of salvation. Wash me anew. Make me new. Come into my heart. Change me. I want to live for you. I'm calling on you, Lord. I'm calling on you. And whoever calls on his name will be saved. Eternal joy. Peace beyond all understanding. Your mind can't even fathom what he has for you and the love he has for you. Our Savior. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Your heart, for those beloved that are in Christ right now, should be soaring. Let the Holy Spirit take control. Stop resisting. Let it overflow, and it just is going to ooze out of you. It can't be contained. When that pitcher, long ago, and I filled up the water, what happens? You had dirty water, and when you put the water in and you keep pouring it in to this dirty vessel, what happens is the water starts pushing out the dirty water, and that dirty water starts becoming clear and clean, because it's like Jesus the silversmith refining us, taking away the dross in our life, and when he looks down, when his work is done, he sees his reflection. Start walking in the Master's footsteps. Follow him. I was born to follow you. Amen? Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. That we would be fearless for you, Lord. Soldiers of the cross, proclaiming the truth to this lost and dying world until you take us home or we breathe our last breath, Lord, and we hear those words, well done, thy true and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Until then, we got kingdom business to be doing, Lord, for your glory. Strengthen this church. Give us opportunity, particularly this week as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Give us the opportunity to share with our family and loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.